Blog Talk Radio.
Lori, give pillow to sit on. One of those pillows. Give me one of those pillows to sit on. Not a big one. A big one. One big one.
Okay, ready? Hello, and welcome to the new call-in show hosted by Morty Davis, the voice of wisdom, with over 60 years of experience as an investment banker, entrepreneur, investment analyst, economist, and venture capitalist. Morty Davis is Wall Street and capitalism personified. The over 400 companies for which he has raised more than $3 billion over the years have created a countless number of jobs and exciting new products. Through this new show, The Voice of Wisdom, Morty will debate, analyze, explore, and discuss, sometimes vehemently, all the major topical, political, economic, and social issues facing our world today. We have a number of call-ins ready to go. I'll turn it over to Mr. Davis, who will chat with you for the next hour or so.
Welcome to all my cherished listeners and guests and attendees to this program or this show. Next time I'm going to do it so you can see me live. And but over the years, people said I have a perfect face for radio. So I'm going to subject you to my live face anyway next time. But the reason I call it the voice of wisdom, and I did a show like that with my wife, Frazi, for many years on radio, and she was the real voice of wisdom, but she passed away 10 months ago. She was phenomenal, and she was the greatest person I ever knew. So I miss her greatly, but I want to carry on this program so I can, after all these years of being in the world, I think I voted, when was I born? I think I voted for Abraham Lincoln around so long. So I like to think I accumulated some very useful and interesting and knowledge that wisdom that can be helpful to everybody. And I'm in the midst of writing a book, a second volume, actually, that I started after the 2008 economic meltdown, recession. And I finished it, but I never got it published at that time because of the issues with my wife and family issues. So I am going to publish that as volume one, to show you what I thought. The title of the book was "What Would You Do If You Were King?" And I wanted listeners or readers to tell me what they think they would do running the government as king. I made it king rather than president because the king doesn't have to deal with Congress, so he or she could implement whatever she chooses or he chooses. So now I'm going to update it by saying, by asking, what would you do if you were king, or what would you do if you were Joe, President Biden? So I hope to finish that book within the next year, and then I'll have two volumes that contain all my thoughts about what I would do, and give you awards if you come up with great ideas, much better than mine, hopefully. And it may be useful because I'm friendly with Joe Biden and I'm friendly with Donald Trump both. So if you get some good ideas, I can convey them to the senators that I'm friendly with, the congressmen that I'm friendly with, and even the presidents or former presidents that I'm friendly with, and such that they can implement those thoughts and wise suggestions that you all might come up with. Anyway, enough about my books. Now I want to talk today about Ukraine and Russia and why I think they, what's happened, how it evolved, has been so unnecessary and so really so tragic and should have been avoided. My feeling is that the result has been so harrowing. It's been devastating to the economies of Europe, to even the United States. It's led to a greater shortage of oil, or a greater increase in the price of oil, of energy, of lack of food, because two of the most productive countries in the world are Russia and Ukraine in terms of producing farm products, wheat, I forget what other products. I haven't been there for a while, so I forget what products they produce, but very vital products, and it's caused harrowing results for people and throughout the world, and particularly third world countries that can't afford the high price of food or can't even avail themselves of the food from Russia and Ukraine. And you see, they're dealing with starving children that they can't take care of, all emanating from this adventure that we see unraveling in between Russia and Ukraine. And by avoiding it, I mean that, look, sometimes it's necessary to go to war. We went to war against the Germans and Japanese during the Second World War. But in that case, we were attacked. In this case, we weren't attacked. Nobody was attacked yet. And Putin said, just don't invite Ukraine to be part of NATO, because if you recollect, as I do, right after Russia dissolved, or the Soviet Union dissolved, which encompassed many, many of the countries that are now independent of Russia and are run by people that are have been elected and are sovereign countries. So now that right after it was dissolved, the Soviet Union, and became the Cold War ended, not within a few years, instead of taking them in as a friend now and even a member of NATO, the first thing we did a few years later is we put missiles in on their borders in both Poland and Hungary. And that was considered a very provocative, a hostile action because if you're my friend and you're not intend any hostile actions against my country, which was what Putin said thought, then you wouldn't be putting up these missiles facing my country. So what do you, yeah, okay, I'll finish this later on. I want to give you all a chance to give your views, but just let me finish, because Putin said if you just agree that you won't invite Ukraine to be a member of NATO, I won't do any further hostile military action against Ukraine. And we didn't make the effort, we didn't try sufficiently to see if we could avoid this war, this devastating, disastrous confrontation that's so costly to us and our allies and in terms of, and even to Russia and Ukraine in terms of the loss of life and wealth. And it was very important to try to do that as diplomatically as possible. And then you say to Putin, okay, we'll agree not, because we didn't need Ukraine in the, NATO doesn't need Ukraine in NATO. So we could have done that and see if he didn't accommodate us after that, and we could tell him that as Putin, okay, we're doing it, but if you move against Ukraine in any way, we're all going to go, NATO and the United States, we're all going to go against you. That should have been the way to do it, instead of exposing ourselves to the third world, possible third world war, and even the devastation that nuclear attacks could result in. So now I want to hear your voices, and you may have much better ideas. So now you're king, and you can tell me as a general or as a leader what we should do or what you would do. So do I have somebody on the phone?
I believe you do. Hi, you're on the air. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Well, here we go.
What's your name?
My name is Petsy Arumi.
Petsy Arumi. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good. What's your question? Or what's your answer?
Okay, my answer to that question that Putin has, can you really blame Putin for invading Ukraine? Putin's claim that NATO and the U.S. have continually violated pledges made in the early 1990s that the alliance would not expand into the former Soviet bloc are claims that are misconstrued and unsubstantiated. The 1990 discussions between Baker and Gorbachev had to do with the reunification of Germany. And it was agreed at the time that NATO would not expand past the territory of East Germany. But these so-called guarantees spoken by Putin were made before the collapse of the USSR and the historic upheavals that followed. Also, these promises were made orally and never recorded in a treaty. In an interview in 2014, Gorbachev said that the topic of NATO expansion was never discussed. It was not raised in those years. The turning point of NATO enlargement came much later, in 1995, at the request of Eastern European countries. Furthermore, the Russians find it difficult to accept NATO enlargement, but they forget that they signed a document called the NATO-Russia Founding Act in 1997 through which they became partners and committed to guaranteeing peace and security in the Euro-Atlantic areas, as well as the territorial integrity of all member states.
Thank you, Betsy.
You're welcome.
Betsy, I want to ask you, how would we feel if Russia and China and Iran and Venezuela decided that they're going to set up something equivalent to NATO and was so provocative as to put missiles in Cuba or Mexico or anywhere on our border? You know, we've been the luckiest country in the world. We're the greatest country in the world, the wealthiest country in the world, and the most, I love this country more than anything that exists in the world. So I'm not, even though I'm critical of our action in this case, and I'm even more critical about our action and our behavior and our towards the rest of the world, because we haven't been attacked since Pearl Harbor, and we've sort of initiated every war since. Korea didn't attack us. Vietnam didn't attack us. Iraq didn't attack us.
Afghanistan.
I was going to say Bangladesh, but that's not it. Afghanistan never attacked us. And we've been indulging in all these wars. We were attacked on 9/11. 3,000 of our citizens, our precious people, Americans, were killed without provocation, for no reason at all. But that's no reason that we had to go to war against Afghanistan. We should have gone to war against, what's his name? What was his name? We killed
Laden.
In Pakistan.
Bin Laden.
So we should have gone after Bin Laden, who was the instigator of that. But we've lost many times 3,000. We've lost blood and treasure with no end, and we haven't had one victory in all these years. And we spend $750 billion a year. This year, we're going to spend $750 billion for military, for defense. You know, it was Eisenhower who won the Second World War for us. He was the biggest hero. We made him president afterwards, who warned us after 8 years, serving 8 years, as he left his presidency, warned us against the military-industrial complex, which, you know, when I was young, the Defense Department was called the War Department. They figured that wasn't such a good idea, calling it the War Department. It sounds too hostile, too belligerent. So they changed it to the Defense Department. So nobody could ever vote against, no congressman, no senator, no could ever vote against defense, defense budget. So, you know, half of our budget at least is offensive. So we should have an offense department and a defense department. And more than that, we could use that kind of money to save lives, to get cures for cancer, heart disease, all that. If we spent that kind of money, in no time at all, we'd eliminate most of the illnesses and terrible diseases.
Do you have a question for?
Do I have a question for?
For her?
For Betsy?
Uh-huh.
No, I thought she was great. Great call. Yeah, but I did ask you a question. How would you feel how would the United States feel if these countries that we don't think are so friendly necessarily put missiles in Cuba or in Mexico or even Canada, which is what Putin is looking at? So do you think that he did wrong by saying, you know, at least they exclude Ukraine from NATO?
First of all, I think that rather than attacking, as Putin did, I think we should go through diplomacy. Diplomacy is the only way, I believe, that we can win any argument, not through war, not through insurgency, but only through diplomacy. And I think you were right when you said at the beginning, there was not enough diplomatic action taken before Putin attacked Ukraine. In other words, I'm saying diplomacy is our only possibility.
Betsy, you're brilliant. Nobody wins the war. Even the winners, if Ukraine wins, they're not a winner. Look what happened to Mary Yupol and the lives
and
lost.
Thousands of people who are no longer with us.
Yeah, and the city, the great city was totally ruined. So there's no winners in the war, and particularly there's no winners if it ever expands or explodes to a nuclear war or even a third world war.
Right. So what we're all afraid of at this point, could this actually turn into World War III with so many countries involved now? So,
Betsy,
yes,
I couldn't agree with you more. You're brilliant, and thank you for your call. I want to give some other callers. I could listen to you all day because you're so brilliant, but I want to give some other callers. We have a bunch of callers waiting. Thank you for your call, and keep up your great wisdom. I wish we'd be
more.
Hi,
Modi. Hoshang Ansari.
Hoshang Ansari, one of my favorite people in the whole world.
Congratulations.
Oh,
congratulations, it is high time for a man of your wisdom to make his voice available for people to benefit from all of the great things that you bring to them, subject by subject, day to day.
Thank you, Hoshang. I have to tell you, I couldn't be more appreciative. This is a gentleman who was the closest officer in Iran under the Shah, and when he was involved, the country Iran was a friend and an ally, and he's just wonderful, and he's absolutely brilliant. So I can't thank you enough for that lovely call.
Thank you, Morty. I think I'm the only citizen alive and kicking who can say that he has slept at the Kremlin.
that's probably
true. I have slept at the Kremlin, and no one else alive has done that.
You've always been a world leader, not only a great statesman, but a world leader.
So I have met Brezhnev, Kosygin, Podgorny, Gromyko at the Kremlin.
Oh. Wow. Hoshang, thank you for the call. You are wonderful, and keep up your good work, and stay one of my best friends in the world. I so admire you. Thank you so much.
Good luck. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi there. Please say your name.
David Paul.
What?
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes.
Is that
speak
on
up.
The
air?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi there. You're on the air.
How are you?
Do you want to say something or ask a question or disagree with me? Whatever you like. Speak up because people
Hello?
Are waiting to call.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Sorry. Not you.
We should wait.
Okay. They're gone. Here's another one.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you well, so.
Hi. You're on the air.
Hello. What's your name? Do we have a good connection?
Yeah, just try again. It's hard to know how they get them in.
Hello.
Hello.
speak up. What's your name? I don't know. Something wrong with the connection?
Maybe so. We'll try again. Here's another one.
Speak up or forever hold your tongue. Now you can call again. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Area code 516. You're on the air.
What's your name?
Hi there.
I don't know. We must have a...
They can hear us, but they don't know that it's them. So there's something weird with this.
Hello? Speak up, please.
Hold on, let me have you call.
Hello? Yeah, what's your name?
Let me have you call.
Hello?
Hi there, can you hear me? All right, one more.
Sorry for the technical trouble we're having.
Hi there, you're on the air. Area code 646.
Hi, this is Pat Summers. Hello, Mr. Davis.
Yes, how are you?
I'm pretty annoyed, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. I hear your voice, I'm even better.
Yeah, hello.
I've been listening to you. I've been hearing you, and I've been hearing Betsy Arumi, and I'm wondering how you can even say we need to be even more diplomatic with somebody like Putin, who is interested in hegemony and reestablishing the USSR and is ready, willing, and able to kill people just like Stalin was. And I'm not as old as you are, but I am old. I'm 84 years old, and
right.
I remember World War II,
right.
Even though I was a little girl.
Right.
I think it's time we stop dancing around Putin and a third world war. And I think NATO and Europe being united finally and calling his bluff, it's time to stop the bull. And what do you have to say now?
I have no love for, I can't stand Putin. I wish he'd disappear. I'm not sure if he disappeared that we'd be better off, because whoever comes on would have access to the nuclear weapons, and we don't know how he behaves. So I have no love for, it's not Putin I'm speaking for. I'm speaking for us, that we don't give any more lives. We keep giving our most precious young people to wars. They should outlaw wars. There's no reason. So I'm saying we should have made a greater effort to negotiate a deal with Putin and say we're not taking anybody into NATO who's on your border. And if you then don't stop this, intrusion on other countries, invasion of other countries, then the whole world will go after you, NATO, the United States, and everybody else. So we didn't make a great enough effort to avoid this horrible, killing. And is there a winner in this war? Yes, you could always have confrontation, but the outcome is never what you think. We haven't won a war, the United States hasn't won a war in, other than Reagan attacked Grenada, so we won that war.
Well, Reagan started a lot of the BS we're dealing with right now, so don't use him as any star of anything knowledgeable. But how about Putin being evil and crazy and committing genocide? And we are not in a war. It's the Ukrainians that are fighting the world's battles right now.
Yeah, but
and
I don't
Russia
see,
needs to be stopped.
I don't want to see the Ukrainians lose their cities and their lives and their... we got to make a greater effort. It's not that I want anything good for Putin. I want everything bad for him. But we should make a greater effort to avoid our people getting killed. There's no reason for that.
Well, right now we're not involved, are we? We're letting Ukraine do and fighting.
What do you mean we're not involved? We've already spent about $60-70 billion. Our allies are deprived of oil and food. We're very involved. It's the whole world suffering from this war. So we're
right. And everybody is going to have to sacrifice a little bit. Everybody's going to have to sacrifice a little bit.
I agree with that. During the Second World War, we all were heroes. We all were patriots. We all made sacrifices. We had oil rationing because there wasn't enough oil. There was food rationing.
Do you remember the victory gardens? Do you remember having to ration sugar?
Yes, of course. I remember heroes like you, patriots like you, I remember.
No, it's not a matter of being patriotic. It's a matter of the right against the wrong, staying on top of things and being available to make the world a better place. Putin is not interested in making the world a better place. He wants to swallow it and be just like Stalin turned out to be.
But we in the United States should make an effort to make the world a better place. And starting wars engaging in wars is not making the world a better place. I appreciate your views. And when I say you were a patriot, I remember all the women rolling up their sleeves. They'd never worked before the Second World War. And they produced all the armaments and all the vital support
that our troops needed.
So I want to thank you. You saved America. Thank you so much.
You take care.
and all your female cohorts. Thank you for the call.
Bye.
Bye.
We have another call, Morty.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see it's coming in.
Who's on now?
Okay, they should be live now.
Hello.
You
want to say your name or tell me your name? Or if you don't want to tell me your name, just talk anyway. Hello?
Area code 516-239.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Yes. Who's this? What's your name?
Hello?
Hi. Hello. What's your name?
Lisa.
Lisa. Yes. How are you, Lisa?
Good. How are you?
Great. What's your question or what's your
I don't have a question. I just have a comment that I really enjoy listening to your voice of wisdom and your opinion on things. So thank you so much.
Thank you for the call. That's
Thanks
a great
call. Thanks for taking
call.
My call.
You're the first one that's in the
house. I'm coming after you. Don't worry. I'm building my case. Okay, all the best.
Thank you so much. Okay. Who's next?
What we can get.
Next time I'm going to try to go on live and you can see me and throw dots.
Hi there. Can you hear us? Hi, you're live.
Hello. I hope next time we have better technology that we get through more easily.
Okay.
But the calls that have been made and contacted me have been excellent. What a great audience.
Hi there, can you hear us?
Hello?
Area code 718-377, can you hear us?
What's your name? Maybe nobody wants to tell me their name. Maybe I shouldn't ask for their name. Hello? Hello there. Somebody's there, but the technology is not, it's not their fault.
Okay.
Hello? We'll try again.
Okay, well, that's the last person. That's the last person that we have, and it's 7:05, so it's been going for 30 minutes, which is a good run.
I thought we were going to do an hour.
Well, 30 minutes is a pretty good show.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anybody else want to talk before we get off the air before we use.
Yes, there's someone here, but they're not. I mean, I'm losing them.
No, because of the problems we have with the technology, we're going to cut it short. I wanted to engage with you for at least an hour. Oh, one more person. Who's that?
Hi there. Area code, they dropped off.
Hello? We'll have to upgrade the technology.
Okay, well, we got...
Anyway, you all have a great evening and a great week, and I'll let you know when I'm doing the next show, and hopefully it'll be much more easy and much more effective in getting you through. So you can express your opinions, you can argue with me, you can disagree with me, or hopefully even some of you may even decide to agree with me. But thank you, and you were all the listeners were really great. Thank you all. Have a great evening, and have a great week, and I'll see you next week sometime. I'll let you know. Bye.